Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Well, all of us in this room, we're simple people, right? We're not fancy. None of us drive fancy cars. We don't eat fancy meals. We're just pretty simple, basic people, and I like it that way. We are bottom line kind of people. We're meat and potatoes kind of people. You know, we don't need all the frivolous bells and whistles. We just want to get straight to the point. And that's the whole point of this series that we're in, Back to the Basics. We want to get back to the basics of what God desires for us. We want to peel away all the layers that have been put upon the gospel message, and we want to get to the core of what God desires for us. And so the word basics, B-A-S-I-C-S, I came second place in the spelling bee, by the way, so I know how to spell. The basics, each letter stands for a fundamental truth for us to hold on to. The B stands for Bible. Fall in love with the Bible. Spend time in God's Word. Be a student of God's Word, because God's Word will not lead us astray, and we've talked about that. The A stands for access. We read in the Bible that because of sin, we have been so separated from God that we cannot reach out to Him. He is so far removed from us because of our sin. He no longer walks with us as He did with Adam and Eve in the garden. But then we read in the New Testament that Jesus came full of grace and truth. He embodied who God is, and He provides access to God the Father, but only through Jesus Christ. That's a fundamental truth that all of humanity needs to know. Jesus gives us access to the Father. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. Last week we talked about S, which stands for Spirit. God's Holy Spirit. He desires to give to His people that empowers us, enables us to live for Him, to do great things for Him, to live a holy life. Without the Holy Spirit, we are empty, right? We are void. We are powerless. Today, the I stands for intention. Intention. After being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, He now gives us a plan and a purpose to fulfill. He gives us a reason to live. He gives us a reason to get up every morning and make something of each day. We now can live with intention. I had a brief conversation just a few days ago with a developmental psychologist, and we were talking about his line of work and just society as a whole. And I said to him, I think the biggest issue in our culture today is that people flounder from day to day without any purpose in life, with no intention. That people are living meaningless lives. And he looked at me and he said, I would agree with you. He said, I meet with people and I counsel with people who struggle with that very issue. There's nothing of substance driving their lives. They're just floundering. They're just going through the motions. One of the biggest issues today is people just living with no purpose in life. I heard an interesting word this last week. Don't know why I hadn't heard it before. But because of COVID, and because we have been forced to have to do this online thing, the person mentioned of students in particular who have to do online schooling said that our students have become zombies. Zombies. It's a play of words from zombies. Zombies. We have become zombies, especially in this age of COVID. What he meant by that was we are glued to our screens hours upon hours each day. Those of us who have to work from home, for example, if we have meetings, you know, we have to do these Zoom meetings. I try to avoid those like crazy because I can't stand them. But there are times when I have to do them. I know Renee is on Zoom quite a bit for her work. Our students, this is how they've been doing school on Zoom. We have become zombies. And it's heartbreaking. But I would say this, even before COVID, we have been glued to our screens and been zombies long before COVID even hit. With technology comes the good and the bad. And the bad is that we are so addicted to our screens. TV, computer, video games, our cell phones. We are so addicted to screen time that we are missing out on this big, beautiful world that God has given us. There are people I know, and there are probably people that you know as well, whose sole purpose is, what show can I binge watch next? Seriously. They can't wait until they can find out which show that they can binge watch next. And I'm not saying that, you know, watching your favorite show is a bad thing. But what I'm saying is that we have become so indoctrinated with entertainment and screen time that we really are living as zombies. You know? Zombies. Back in 1985, Neil Postman, who isn't a Christian, he is a professor, a psychologist, he wrote a fascinating book entitled Amusing Ourselves to Death. This was back in 1985. And in a very prophetic way, he foretold in the mid-80s that TV has a hold on us in ways that can be very destructive. Fast forward now, how much more correct was he in the year 2021? When we are literally, our culture is literally amusing ourselves to death. We feed off of the entertainment and the news cycles, and we are glued to our screens. Try going the rest of today without looking at any screen. I know it's a hard day to say that, right? Try it. I dare you. Try not looking at your phone once, or your TV once, or your computer. You can't do it. I can't do it. There's something called the Super Bowl today, right? How many millions of people are going to be glued to that? We have become zombies. And the downward spiral effect of that is that we begin to live without intention or purpose until Hollywood decides what show we should watch next. But every so often, we get a glimpse of what it's like to live with intention and what it's like to live with purpose. And there are stories that emerge from time to time that give us hope. One such story is a player that you will see today in the big game. There's a big game today, right? Number 7 for the Kansas City Chiefs. His name is Harrison Butker. He is the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. They say he's the best kicker in the NFL. I think last year scored more points than anyone else. So he's pretty good. Keep your eye out for number 7 of Kansas City today. But take a close look at his shoes. His shoes are what is the fascinating story here, because his shoes are painted, hand-painted, by a man who lives in the Kansas City area. He's actually a deputy sheriff by the name of Craig Greico. Here's the thing about this deputy sheriff who paints number 7's shoes. He's colorblind. He's colorblind. But he overcame that years ago on the birth of his first son when he decided to paint the nursery for his newborn baby. And he did such a good job, despite his color blindness, that he went on to paint paintings on canvas. And now he's just one of a handful of people who paint for NFL players. They're probably the most famous shoes from the Kansas City area since Dorothy's ruby red slippers, you know? There are stories like that from time to time that remind us that even in spite of disabilities and even in spite of hardships, there are people that will rise above and find a purpose and find something productive to do with their life. But the issue is, there's still way too many people who live with no purpose and no direction in life. One of the top best-selling non-fiction Christian books of all time has been The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren. Rick Warren is pastor in Southern California, started Saddleback Church 40-some years ago, is one of the top 5 or 10 largest churches in America. And many years ago, about 12, 15 years ago, he wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. And some of you may have read it. I have it in my library. It has sold and done so well, primarily because people are looking for purpose in their life. I met Rick Warren on my first sabbatical in 2009. I have a picture of me with Rick. On my first sabbatical, I drove down to Southern California and did some stuff down there. Sat in the front row of the church service. It was a Saturday night service. And the guy next to me struck up a conversation. I told him I'm on sabbatical from Springfield, Oregon. He goes, "Hey, I know Pastor Rick. After church, come back there and I'll introduce you to him." And I met him. A nice guy, put his arm around me. Even though he's a Southern Baptist, he told me the first sermon he ever preached was in a Nazarene church. Wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. Don't tell him I haven't read the book yet. I haven't. I have it in my office. It's on a stack of a million other books I need to get to. The point is that book has done so well because people are looking for purpose and intention in life. Why am I here? What plan or purpose does God have for me? People are looking for direction. And if we don't seek it from God, guess what? The world has plenty of options to help us find a purpose and an intention for living. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 24. These are the words of Jesus speaking very clearly and concisely to his disciples. Jesus has a plan. He has a purpose. And if we listen closely, we will understand. Even the smallest child here can understand what God's intention is for their life. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Verse 25, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Two simple but incredibly profound words that Jesus says to his disciples, "Follow me. Don't follow anyone else. Follow me." Now, in my desire to help you become better students of God's Word as you read and study the Bible on your own, I frequently tell you that whenever the Bible repeats itself, as it does from time to time, pay especially close attention. Because anytime anything is repeated, it's important. For example, the Bible says and repeats on a couple of occasions, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. We better pay attention to that. Another verse is, The righteous will live by faith. That's mentioned a couple times, once or twice in the Old Testament, once or twice in the New Testament. We better pay attention anytime the Bible repeats itself. Do you know how many times in the Gospels Jesus says, "Follow me"? 20 times Jesus says, "Follow me." And I'm going to just quickly read the 19 other times that Jesus says these words, because his words are the ones we need to hear today. So just listen. 19 other times Jesus says these critical words. And if it's important enough for Jesus to say it 20 times, don't you think he knows what's best for us? Matthew 4:19. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 8:22. "But Jesus told him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" Matthew 9:9. "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him." Matthew 10:38. "And anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Matthew 19:21. "Jesus answered, 'If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" Mark 1:17. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Mark 2:14. "As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him." Mark 8:34. "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" Mark 10:21. "Jesus looked at him and loved him. 'One thing you lack,' he said, 'go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" Luke 5:27. "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him." Luke 9:23. "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.'" Luke 9:59. "He said to another man, 'Follow me.'" Luke 14:27. "And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Luke 18:22. "When Jesus heard this, he said to him, 'You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me.'" John 1:43. "The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" John 10:27. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." John 12:26. "Whoever serves me must follow me." John 21:19. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." And John 21, verse 22. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." You think Jesus is trying to get a point across? We lack purpose and direction and meaning and intention in life when we don't follow Jesus. Because the invitation to follow Jesus, not to follow Christians, not to follow Christian movements, not to follow even other pastors, but the invitation to follow Jesus will put you on a journey the likes of which no other journey will give you fulfillment and purpose, eternal life. Now, these last words from John's Gospel, John chapter 21, were words that Jesus spoke to Peter. 3 chapters earlier, in John chapter 18, Peter had his greatest failure in life. It was just hours before Jesus was to be crucified. And not once, not twice, but 3 times, Peter denied Jesus. He thought he was following Jesus. He thought he was on the right path. But when push came to shove, and when the pressure came crashing in, Peter had his greatest failure. He denied Jesus 3 times. Just 3 chapters later, in John chapter 21, the resurrected Jesus is with his disciples, and he looks Peter in the eye. And building upon the 3 previous times that Peter had denied Jesus, Jesus asked him 3 questions. And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Of course I do." And he said, "Peter, feed my sheep." And Jesus does that not once, not twice, but 3 times to reveal to Peter that his greatest failure will not define him, does not disqualify him, but rather, out of great love and mercy, Jesus extends to Peter yet again a willingness and an extended hand to follow him and to do his will. And you may be sitting there thinking, you know, who am I? I'm no disciple of Jesus. I'm a nobody. This is scary stuff, Pastor John, to follow Jesus. This is stepping out into the unknown. I don't know what Jesus has in store for me. But let me just remind you, give you a synopsis of what the Bible teaches. If God could close the lion's mouth for Daniel and part the Red Sea for Moses and make the sun stand still for Joshua and open the prison for Peter and put a baby in Sarah's arm and raise Lazarus from the dead, then he can certainly take care of you. Have faith in him. He knows what he's doing. 20 times Jesus teaches, "Follow me, and you will have the greatest life ever." A life of purpose and divine intention. What's my purpose in life? Why am I here? What does God require of me? Well, I guess you could read Rick Warren's book. It's not going to hurt you. But it's all right here in this book. It's all right here in this book. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but get this, but understand what the Lord's will is. God has a plan and a purpose and a will and a desire for you. Discover what His will is for you and then go full throttle, and God will take care of you. I love that earlier we sang, step by step, I will follow you all the days of my life. That's what our Christian journey is about. We take away all the frivolous stuff that what Christianity has become. We get to the bare bones. It is this. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Let this day be a super Sunday for you, not because of anything that the world is doing, but because this is the day we all say to God, I follow you. I follow your plan, your will, your intention for my life. Let this be a super Sunday of commitment. Father, collectively and individually, we respond to Jesus when He says to us, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not 10 times, not 15 times, but 20 times. Oh, we need 20 times to get our attention, don't we? We are so stubborn. But Jesus patiently comes back, even after we've failed Him miserably. And He says, with a tear in His eye and an outstretched arm, He says to us, follow me.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.